Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. I want to continue a theme we began yesterday, talking about the fear of the Lord, talking about the glory of the Lord. This is such an important time for us, brothers and sisters, to be anchored, to be strengthened, to be standing on the rock and the kind of standing in the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit in the way that the apostles did, the way Jesus himself did. I mean, the Holy Spirit is given to each and every one of us to help us walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to lead us to all truth, to give us the words to speak in difficult situations, to give us the strength we need in the face of trial and persecution, to give us hearts to love, to fulfill the first commandment, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, to be able to do those things at a very troubling and disruptive and divisive time in the history of our country, in this just troubling time as the nations continue to be shaken in many ways. And the Lord's clearly permitting this to happen, and he permits it to happen so that he can get our attention. He shakes the earth to wake it up, to wake it up to what really matters most, and to be able to see in it, even in the difficulty and the trial, to see in it the heart of God the Father calling us back to him, calling us to repentance, calling us to deeper holiness, calling us to letting go of idols, calling us to remove everything in our lives to allow him to do it if we can't do it on our own, but to cooperate with him to remove everything in our lives that hinders us from living out that first commandment, that hinders us from love, from loving God and loving neighbor. And you can see everywhere, I mean, in our politics and in our, this, it's just everywhere, the division, the rage culture that's going on, the cancel culture, the fear that's all over the place within the culture. It's a sign of both the spiritual battle that we live in each day, the presence of the kingdom of darkness, a fallen world that resists the will of God, but it also gives an indication of the condition of human hearts and where people are at. Lots of people are gripped by anger, bitterness, rivalry, violence, hatred. These kinds of things are present and they're surfacing in people. Unwillingness to forgive, inability to control ourselves, to have self-mastery over our emotions and over our tongues and over our lives, and to be able to, as Jesus said to us so beautifully, and it's important for us to hear this again and again and again, and I think, where he said, come and learn from me now. We're in a place where hopefully the shaking that's gone on, continues to go on, is getting our attention, and to say, Lord, where are you in this? It's hard for me to see you. It's hard to see the good. And the Lord said, okay, now come with me and I'll show you. Come and learn from me. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Be still and know that I'm God. And he said, now learn from me because I'm meek and I'm humble of heart. And I want to teach you how to bear my yoke, because you look around and you see the weight that's on people. The weight, again, of rage, of vindictiveness, of anger, of bitterness, of resentment. There's all kinds of things. The lists that are there in the New Testament, maybe we could look at those before the week's out, from the words of Jesus and the words of the apostles. It's like a weight, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the weight of the fear of death, the weight of the fear of men, you know, the weight of sin's grip that can be on our minds and on our hearts, and it's too much. And Jesus is saying, for my disciples, I want to teach you, as you draw near to me, to carry my weight, my yoke. And so it's the image like a big steer, I guess, or, you know, with that big piece of wood around his neck, and it's, and he's got maybe a younger one next to him, and they're strapped together in this thing, and he's bearing most of the load and carrying it all. Jesus, first of all, wants us to know that he's there and he wants to carry it for us. And you say, well, yeah, I get that, but it's still painful and it's still hard. It is, but he wants us to live by faith and not by sight alone. He wants us to understand that ultimately we will experience in this world the weight and the suffering and the trial. We're not going to escape it. And we were talking yesterday even about the readings that are coming toward the end of the week from Matthew 24 and 25, as Jesus warns about the coming tribulation, about the end times and the final judgment, and the kind of warnings that he gives. And the church is going to go through, the Catechism expresses it very clearly, the church will go ultimately through a final trial, a Calvary, where she will be profoundly, very deeply persecuted, be a great trial. So Jesus isn't saying we're going to escape those things. But you say, well, isn't that a contradiction? How can my yoke be easy and then I have to carry all this stuff? Well, Jesus is saying, look, my strength is sufficient for you in every circumstance if you're living with me and from me. So you see it in the lives of the saints, and some of them battling very serious illnesses, very serious sicknesses, and how they bore up under them. How those things which are part of a fallen world meant for evil, they then become an instrument because the Lord didn't deliver them, didn't heal them. And so they're bearing up knowing that they're still living in the will of God. And in that context, in that moment, in the reality of their experience, they are trusting God. They are pressing in to bear the yoke that the Lord wants them to carry, which is the yoke is his life, is his love, is his presence. And really, it's faith, hope, and love, allowing us to understand that all of this, no matter how heavy it seems, won't crush us if we're with the Lord. And even if it does press very heavily on us, in the Lord, it ends up becoming an opportunity to be more conformed to him, to be more purified, to love more fully, to go deeper with him. That's the only reason he permits it, because he wants to produce a greater good in us. And then that the aroma of his presence in that, his love, his faithfulness to us that we will see in the midst of it, he knows how much we can handle, how much we can take, and he'll continue to guide us, because what he's doing in each one of our lives is preparing us to meet the Father, to be able to love the Father with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he will get as much of it done, the purification that needs to happen in our lives in this world, or as we pass through a final purgation before we enter into the presence of the Father, and Christ's burning love healing us of all in us that resist God and resist the will of the Father, so our hearts can be perfectly united to Jesus. It's a tremendous grace to be able to see that even in the trials of life, persecution and the rest, the Lord will be present and he will be with us. If we're looking to him, if we're setting our mind and heart above on the things that are above, like he said, and we're leaning into him, and we take in with real faith and real hope the biblical worldview, the knowledge that, yeah, I live in a fallen, sinful, broken world. And I know that this is not my home. I'm passing through. I'm an alien and a stranger. I know that my master, my Lord, who loves me, who calls me his friend, told me, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And so that ought to be a great help for us, and he wants it to go deeper into us so we actually live it and believe it, even in the midst of hardship, to say, this is a passing shadow. Be of good cheer, Peter, be of good cheer. Because this too has been overcome, and it won't be the last word in my life. Soon my life will be over. Life is a breath, a passing shadow. And the whole burden of this life that we're enduring now will be completely lifted. And I'm united to that promise, to the reality and the power of the Holy Spirit, who gives me faith conviction that it's real. And the more I lean into the faith and lean into the hope, the more I become free internally of all the burdens that come from fear and doubt and the continued weight of sin in my own life. Clearly, that's manifested in the life of the saints. It's just such an encouraging thing to see in them. And yesterday, I ended the program talking about us praying more consistently each day, praying not only for the needs that on our personal lives, which is really important, we got to keep doing that, and the needs of the church, but to pray and ask the Lord for the gift of the fear of God to be stirred in each and every one of us, and that the fear of the Lord might fill the land. The psalmist says, let the whole earth fear the Lord, It's the best place the earth can be. It's the beginning of wisdom of how to be rightly united to the Lord, to be in right relationship with the Lord, to see reality as it actually is, and to gladly embrace it and to receive it as a gift and to walk in it. The fear of the Lord really helps us do that. And it helps us drive back sin. The fear of the Lord, one of the first things it produces is a resistance to sin. And it helps strengthen us. It's also one of the sources of courage and how courage can work in our lives. And what we need right now is courage. There's so much intimidation in the culture and pressure. Just an example, you know, the cancel culture, they're calling it, right? Where if people don't conform to a particular creed that's being pushed in the broader political culture, one that resists God deeply, if you're not willing to confess this creed or stand up for it, you're going to get canceled. And what it does is, you know, people can lose their jobs, they can be ridiculed, and it's a scary thing for people. But there's a teaching and a revelation, a self-revelation in the moment for us is just how deeply does this fear grip me? Am I willing to do what a disciple is first called to do, to be a witness to the truth, to stand for the truth, to never lie, to never conform to any kind of deception, but to stand in the truth and come what may? We love it when we hear stories of people who actually do that, but when it comes right down to us individually, it's a kind of scary thing to do. It's a scary thing to have to do. And what gets manifested is that what's present in us, it could be an inordinate self-love, a fear of being harmed, a fear of loss, a fear of being alone and isolated, a fear of being humiliated. Maybe there's just too much of the fear of men in us, that we live more with our minds focused on the opinions of other people about us than we do about God's opinion about us. And that stuff gets revealed at moments like this. So there's a great sifting that's going on in the midst of this shaking of the nations that's happening, a sifting of each and every one of us individually, our ability. Are we going to lean into the Lord? Are we going to stand up in this moment, these opportunities we're given to bear witness to the truth and to walk in it? Or are we going to run and hide? Are we going to conform? Are we going to do what we need to do to get people to leave us alone? Whatever it is. These kinds of things are emerging more and more in our culture, and we will not be able to respond in the way probably deep down in our hearts we'd love to respond, with a kind of heroic love to respond. What we need is a good dose of the fear of the Lord. When the fear of the Lord is in the land, people start to get wise. They start to see. It's like a light goes on. And you say, look, I don't need to fear men. I don't need to fear anything. I mean, literally, I don't need to fear anything. Why? Because I'm in the hands of the Holy One, of the living God. Lots of people don't realize that. Even lots of baptized people don't realize that and really see it in a way. So we want to pray for, Lord, the grace of the gift of the fear of the Lord to be stirred in the church and for your glory, as the prayer of Moses we ended yesterday's program with as well. It said, he asked the Father, show us your glory, Lord. And when we see the glory of the Lord, and he reveals it to us, he reveals his glory to human hearts, purity comes into our hearts, and so does the fear of God, which is a precious, precious gift. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.